So Wynn followed the chem manifestation forward into the computer core. It seemed to be a vast spherical cavity filled with drifting clouds of radiance and flashing streaks of light. He and the beloved queen were on a transparasteel service balcony that protruded about a dozen meters into the chamber. At the forward end of the balcony sat several banks of display screens and interface consoles. There was no sign anywhere of the system's administrators, who had once used the equipment to communicate with the temple's computer core. The chem manifestation went to the primary equipment bank and took a seat in a swiveling chair, the middle of a trio.
"Don't lag, Chief Dorvin," she said. "You have no reason to be frightened. You're still much too valuable for me to kill."
"I'm not frightened, just confused," Wynn lied. He continued forward until he was standing at the arm of the chair adjacent to the one the beloved queen now occupied. "Might I ask what I'm doing here?"
"Remaining available," she said. "I will need your advice again soon."
"About what?"
"You will know when I am ready for you to know."
"My apologies," Wynn said. Either the beloved queen was lying about needing his advice, or she did not yet know what kind of advice she would be seeking. "I didn't realize you were unaware yourself." A pair of silver points began to burn deep in the queen's eyes, and for a moment, her arms seemed to writhe like tentacles.
"I said you were too valuable to kill," she warned. "Now be silent."
Wynn remained standing, confident that the blaster was no test. The beloved queen had a habit of covering her weakness with a threat whenever she felt vulnerable. And the only time she ever seemed vulnerable was when she entered one of her revelatory trances. He had no idea where her mind went during such episodes, whether she was flow-walking like Jason Solo had done, or simply spying on her enemies through the Force. But he did know that while she was away, she was oblivious to her surroundings. Wynn waited as the beloved queen's breathing turned shallow and her eyes grew distant and glassy. And then he continued to wait, counting to 100, watching for any movement that would suggest she was not deep in her trance. When he saw none, he asked,
"Beloved queen?"
He waited another 20 heartbeats, then spoke louder.
"Beloved queen?"
She remained motionless, her blue Jassar skin as smooth as stone, and her gaze fixed somewhere beyond the chamber. Wynn stepped behind the chairs, then pulled the holdout blaster from his sleeve and checked the energy cell. Charged. He checked the gas canister. Full.